And hello. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse, and we're so happy to be on board with you right here on Progressive Radio Network. Dr. Zamperone and I do many classes, both on ground, online. You can check that out at naturalnurse.com or Facebook, The Natural Nurse, any of those places. And we love to hear from you. We give a lot of classes about herbal medicine, and we talk about manufacturing herbal medicine, the right way to do it, seeing if the facility that you're using is using the right steps. And we have all kinds of information about natural medicine there. And what we love about the Progressive Radio Network is that they have a beautiful archive. You can just come right here if you're listening in now, or if you feel one of your friends would be interested in any of our topics anytime or any show that's played here on Progressive Radio Network, just come on board to PRN.FM or Google Progressive Radio Network. Click on shows, and our show is Natural Nurse. So go down to the ends. Once you click on that, you'll see this really beautifully laid out archive of shows that are both downloadable. You can podcast them. You can listen to them. I think you can podcast them. I don't know what all these words mean, but so they tell me. So you can join us anytime. And we're very happy to have as our guest today, Mr. Dan Goldberg. Dan founded Optimum Wellness of Long Island, and his holistic practice became one of the largest of its kind in the United States, with a focus on cleansing and detoxification therapies. Dan has been involved in natural medicine for many decades, and he is a certified nutritionist, applied kinesiologist, colon hydrotherapist, energy practitioner, and certified tantra educator, among many other things. Dan then sold his practice and since then has become a leading advocate on Long Island for clean, safe water for everyone. He started his own water testing and water filtration company and has now merged his company with Long Island Clean Water, the largest water testing and filtration company of its kind on Long Island, with over 30 years of experience in understanding water issues and offering state-of-the-art solutions that can meet the needs of safe, clean water for yourself and your family. Dan is constantly on the lecture circuit speaking and educating people about water issues and he has spoken to the Holistic Moms Association, the Metropolitan Home Inspectors Association, Rotary Groups, doctors and chiropractors, and is a regular speaker at various Whole Foods locations. To find out more, you can look online, because we'll have this show posted, or go to crystalpurewatersli.com. And thank you so much for joining us today, Dan.
It's great to be here, Ellen, and great to hear you this morning.
Now, one thing I want to do is go back in time a little bit, because you and I actually know each other, I think, lots of decades already. You've been involved in natural medicine for such a long time, both as an interest of your own and as an advocate and professionally, so on many different sides. Mm-hmm. But what led you in that direction originally?
Let's see. Good question. I think the way it started for me was in my mid-20s, I started going through a lot of different changes in my body in terms of mostly related to the foods that I was eating. I started showing allergy symptoms. I'd eat certain foods, and I'd get very congested. I'd get all sneezy, and that was not good, and I was not feeling well. So
did you first go to a regular conventional physician to see what they had to say about that?
No, and I think this is due to my mom's influence, who, when I was about 10 or 11 years old, my mom, who was going through her divorce, was also going through some very difficult times with her health.
Wait a minute. It's not mm-hmm. only her divorce, because you're involved there, but it's your mom, right? So in terms
What's
of
that?
I said you're involved then, too, in terms of a family dynamic.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I remember her going. She used to listen to all the, Carlton Fredericks and
Adele Davis.
And one day she went to New Jersey, and she met with this 94-year-old, holistic doctor and came back with a load of supplements and herbs and things that I had never even seen before. Again, I was about 10 or 11 years old. And I witnessed, within about 6 months, I witnessed my mom's health drastically change. And she, I saw it before my very eyes. So that planted a very powerful seed in my little young consciousness. And when I started going through my own health challenges in my mid-late 20s, I had no interest in taking drugs, medications, going the traditional medical route. I knew that there had to be some kind of underlying reason, and that began my exploration into more natural health. So
that's a great story. Do you happen to remember the name of that elder practitioner?
I don't, actually.
Okay, that's okay, because I love, I got involved also in 1964 in terms of natural medicine. That's how long I've been studying it. And I did know many of the elder practitioners at that time. I studied with Bernard Jensen, who I'm sure you got to know as well, because he was around till in his 80s. But if someone was 94 way back then, I may or may not have crossed their path. So thank you for sharing that wonderful blast from the past. Because a lot of people think that what they call now alternative medicine, or like our topic for today, looking into what's going on with your water, is a really new thing, and it's not. There have been people involved in that for a very long time.
Definitely. And I think I progressed into. I think the first steps for me back along the way were really looking at my diet and drastically changing my diet, and then hang on 1 second. I have to turn off my own phone.
Here feedback.
I drastically changed my own diet, and then I started getting into
In what way? What kind of stuff?
Well, I found that a lot of foods that I was eating were causing sensitivity. So it was definitely dairy.
Let's take another step back. How did you find that out? Did you get an IgG food allergy panel, or was it through elimination and you saw what happened?
Yeah, it was just through my own awareness of, it was really interesting because my body was so sensitive at that time in my late 20s that I would eat something and immediately I would see the results. I would eat, let's say I was still drinking milk or I had some white flour, immediately I'd feel congested, I'd start getting sneezy. And,
but I'll say this, that's because you were watching for it also. See, many people that I have helped with their diet and they have found out they have sensitivities like you found out, when they first start talking about it, they don't know. And, of course, you're eating wheat and dairy in the standard American diet pretty much every meal, so you just feel crummy all the time and you're not aware like you were. You brought your attention to it.
Right. So it just became really clear to me that things like sugar, white flour, dairy, alcohol, coffee, even meat, that I just was not, I grew up eating all those things with no problems, but now something had definitely changed. And so, and then I actually met this woman and we started dating and she was into macrobiotics. So this was, I guess I was led to her for a number of great reasons, but I was introduced to the macrobiotic way back when, and I started taking some cooking classes and, just really cleaning up my diet. And then I started doing some different cleansing and detoxification processes myself. I started going for colonic therapy, and I did some juice fasting and other types of fasting. And I found that, between all these things, everything started changing, and I was healthy again, and I was not suffering from any of the symptoms that I was unless I ate those foods. So that really, again, that was a very powerful confirmation that, at least for my own body, diet and those cleansing and detoxification therapies were really powerful. It wasn't until later on that I really became aware of how important water was, and we'll talk about that more. So that was my story in the early days.
That's great because that's, your personal avocation, let's say, and it was just an interest and, of course, your personal health, which leads many people in this direction. But then you went further. I mean, you really got certified in many things as well.
Yeah, you know, I was finishing a career. I was actually, I had started my own company when I was 21 years old. I started a food business called The Nut Man. I was selling nuts and dried fruits, chocolates and candies and all that kind of stuff. And,
I have to interrupt you there 1 minute, Dan. Because last night I was at someone's house. His name is Ron.
Mm-hmm.
And he's with a woman named Rona. And it just happened to be a personal visit there. And Ron said, "Do you know Dan from back in the days when he was the Nut Man?" So he knows you from then.
He does, yes.
Yeah.
Ron and I go way back, and
he's a very good man. To know that you'd be on the show today as well. So,
yes.
So continue. Sorry for the interruption.
That's okay. So it just got to a point. I grew that into a very successful business, and then at one point, it just became clear to me that I was selling things that I did not believe in anymore, and my own path was changing into health and nutrition, and so I sold that business, and took a little bit of time off, and then it became very clear that I wanted to get into the health field. And so that's when I started going for my own trainings and certifications. I didn't go to university to start my health practice because there really wasn't anything out there at the time that I could see that wasn't going to take me more than 4 years to be able to start my practice. So I went to specific teachers, and I took the trainings and seminars and programs that were really important to me, and I was able to put together the therapies and the trainings. I became a certified nutritionist through a long-distance certification program. And then I just started studying the things that I was really passionate about, like applied kinesiology and herbology and Chinese medicine, and I just kept adding things, and then I was doing the colonic therapy. I was also doing some very deep emotional healing, emotional release work in my practice. So I put together a lot of different things that were very important to me to help people on their road to health and wellness.
So even when we're delving into colonics and detoxification, we're already getting into the water discussion.
Yes.
Which is where we're headed to now. So now,
for sure.
You know, you had those very successful colonic therapy locations that were actually locations.
Mm-hmm.
I know many people who used your services and were very, very happy with the cleanliness, purity of the water, professional aspects of the staff. So that was really, really well done. And now you have taken that interest in water to a new level.
I was always a nut about clean water, not only for the therapies that I was offering to my clients, but, yeah, it just made so much sense to me. If you're going to be putting a focus on trying to eat well with clean, organic food, that it just made sense to have, clean water for the body and to be able to drink, and cook and shower and bathe with really clean water. So, yeah, even way back when I had – I took the steps to get, really good water filtration in my home and in my practice. And it was just, to me, it was like second nature. Didn't even really think much about it. And then when I sold my practice about 5.5, almost 6 years ago now, an opportunity presented itself to join a company out of Brooklyn that was a water filtration and a water testing company. They had a connection with Home Depot. And it seemed like a good way to learn to really dive into the industry. And that really opened my eyes. That was probably 3.5 years ago. It really opened my eyes to some of the issues that we're all facing. I knew a lot of them already because my whole practice was based on environmental factors that were affecting our health, air, food, water, household chemicals, et cetera, et cetera. So that was always in my consciousness, and this is what I've been teaching people for many, many years. But when I really started participating in the industry, I really became aware of, we have some significant issues here on Long Island and in New York City and all over the country, for that matter.
Yes, and that's the thing. We certainly will focus on the Long Island area, but it really is all over the country because I travel and lecture all over the country. And I'll tell you, Long Island may be bad, and we'll talk about some of the issues we may face right here locally and in the New York area. But when I take a shower, last week I was, let's say, in Kentucky or around in Ohio. I have to say, if anyone's listening in those areas, and we do get podcast listeners all over the country, I'm not trying to insult you, but let me tell you, you could feel the chlorine. It's so thick in the water.
Yeah. Yeah.
And other toxic chemicals. Of course, these are hotels which are very close to heavily farmed areas, and those waters must be much, much worse than our area. I mean, even worse, even though we have a lot to be concerned about. And then I looked it up, and sure enough, Kentucky has the highest cancer rate in the country.
Wow. Did not know that.
So, you know, there's so many links to devastating disease and toxicity in our environment, including in the water. So
for sure.
It is a major thing to be discussing. So what's really going on with Long Island's water, in particular, or our area, and why should we be concerned about it?
Well, the first question I always like to ask people is, do we know where our water comes from that we drink on Long Island? And, you know, many who live here on Long Island have the idea that, like New York City, our water gets brought in from other places. Like, we know that New York City gets brought in from a series of 22 reservoirs in upstate New York. And yet here on Long Island, it's really, if you picture from the Queens border all the way out to the east end of Long Island, right underground, there are three massive, I like to call them rock caverns or reservoirs that hold all the water that we drink and use for everything here on Long Island, industry, farming. And so, again, what I like to say is that 200 years ago, you know, all of our underground waters would have been as beautiful, pristine, and clean as you could ever imagine. Who would have ever needed a company like Poland Spring to be hauling in water? We never would have needed something like that. But now our challenge is that there are 3 million people living right on top of our water supply, and we have, you know, 70 years of industry and farming and now, you know, hundreds of thousands of automobiles and all the other types of businesses that have been often notorious for dumping, leaking, leaching, and all those chemicals end up, unfortunately, going down into our drinking water. So that's the tip of the iceberg, so to speak, in terms of some of our water problems here on Long Island.
That's amazing. So there's just been a big change. What created that vast change in the survey?
Well, again, I think it's a combination of a lot of different factors. So, you know, we know that just for instance, the farming industry on Long Island has been using pesticides and herbicides for a long time. I met a gentleman about 2 months ago in Lido Beach. He was walking his dog, and I happened to be in the neighborhood, and we started a conversation. And when he found out that I was doing some testing of people's water, he says, "Oh, I know all about Long Island's water." I said, "Really? What do you do?" He says, "I'm a driller." I said, "A water driller?" He said, "No, I drill for industry all around Long Island." I said, "So, okay, so what are you finding?" So he says, "Well, first, I'll just tell you what," he said, "there's only one word I'll describe for Long Island's water." I said, "What's that?" He said, "It's scary." I said, "And so tell me what you're finding." So he said, "Every time we drill, whether it's 50 feet, 100 feet down, we're finding," he said, it's like if you go to the dentist and you have an infected tooth and they open up that tooth and all this pus starts pouring out, pardon me for the gross analogy, but he says, "That's what we're finding. We drill down and we find pools and pockets of pesticides and herbicides that are just have been accumulating, finding their way down for 50, 100 years. I said, you know, he even said 200 years. I said, "I didn't even know they were using fertilizers, pesticides 200 years ago." He said, "Yeah, I mean, so whether that's true or not, but that's just one issue. I mean, here on Long Island, we have such a commitment to our green lawns and our golf courses, and more water is used on Long Island, especially during the summer, of course, than anything else for just taking care of our lawns and our golf courses. But those pesticides and herbicides, they end up definitely finding their way into our aquifers, into our water supply. So that's one of, again, many, many problems with our Long Island water.
So all of those things accumulate, and of course, you know, the things that people use in their homes, dumping pharmaceuticals down into the water supply. You know, we do need to take a short break right here, Dan. I want to thank you so much
Sure.
for doing this show with us tonight, and we are going to continue. I want to remind people they can catch this show anytime on the archive of Progressive Radio Network, and you can find Dan Goldberg at Crystal Pure Waters with an S, li.com. And we'll be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss the folklore, history, chemistry, and medicinal applications of the common kitchen herb, thyme.
The common culinary spice known botanically as Thymus vulgaris is only one member of a large genera which includes over 400 species and even more varieties. The Thymus genera is originally native to the Mediterranean region and is a perennial plant which grows wild in usually dry, sandy soil, green heaths, and grasslands. Thyme is a prolific, fragrant, creeping ground cover and often displays an attractive spray of flowering branchlets spanning the spectrum from white to violet.
There is considerable debate amongst historians as to the origin of the name thyme. Some believe it to be from the Greek thymen, meaning to fumigate or to burn a sacrifice, because it was used as a sweet-smelling incense and also to keep pests and venomous creatures away from the Greek home. Others believe it came from the Greek thumos, meaning courage or energy, perhaps because it has a reputation of being used by Greek warriors for courage and was bathed in and used as a beverage for invigoration. The Egyptians used an herb called thym, which we believe is Thymus vulgaris, to mummify their dead. The principal chemical constituents of thyme are the volatile oils consisting of phenol, thymol, and carvacrol. A 1977 article in the scientific journal Chemical Abstracts revealed that thymol's antimicrobial activity is 18 times more powerful than phenol. Phenol is a major antiseptic used in commercial germicidal cleaners like Lysol. Thymol is one of the most potent antimicrobial substances known and far surpasses even the strongest antibiotics. It has been illustrated in the Journal of Chemistry and in the Merck Index of Drugs and Chemicals to destroy parasites, worms, fungi, bacteria, mosquito larvae, and many viruses.
The pharmaceutical and cosmetic industry is privy to the important medicinal effects of oil of Thymus vulgaris. It is ubiquitously found in gargles, cough drops, vapor rubs, and many mouthwashes. Oil of thyme is to be used, albeit very sparingly because of its potency, as a gargle or mouthwash for sore throats and inflamed gums. Because the volatile oil is expelled via the lungs and kidneys, naturopathic physicians use it for upper respiratory infections and urinary tract infections. If you're in the midst of a cold and are lying in bed with too much thyme on your hands, try making a thyme tea made with just a few teaspoons of thyme to a cup of boiling water. It's an excellent diaphoretic because it causes the body to perspire profusely. Thyme also possesses an excellent carminative and antispasmodic effect, helping in poor digestion, flatulence, and intestinal gripe.
So, listeners, if you're feeling ill, thyme heals all wounds. Remember to reach for that thyme in a bottle the next time you open up the Natural Medicine Chest.
Welcome back Dr. Z. This is Ellen Kamai, the Natural Nurse. You can always find us at naturalnurse.com or Facebook, The Natural Nurse. And we have a lot of events going on that you can join in on all the time. We have a major event coming up, which is a 6-credit course for professionals, and it's also open to the public. And that is at the University of Bridgeport. It is the 3rd Annual Natural and Integrative Medicine Symposium. Also, we have walks in Chinatown. We have herb walks where you can go outside and learn about what plants that grow in your yard are useful for food and medicine. And we have online herbal certification courses, and those are available just at your own convenience. We set them up personally. So all kinds of things to find out. We have many books that I have written with my partner, Dr. Eugene Zamperon, our co-host here on The Natural Nurse, and Dr. Z. He's Dr. Z. So check it out. And today we have as our guest Mr. Dan Goldberg, and he is the owner of Optimal Wellness on Long Island. He is now deeply involved with bringing people the best, safest water. And that's what our topic is for today. So thank you so much for joining us today, Dan.
My pleasure, Ellen.
Now, we've gone through the why. What is the problem? What are some of the chemicals that are problematic and maybe some of the health issues that might be linked to them in terms of water pollution?
Yeah, well, that's really, now we're getting into it. So, you know, because of industry and just our industrial world over the last 100 years, so many chemicals have been introduced into our environment. There's one particular, did you know that over 80,000 synthetic chemicals have been introduced into the environment since World War II? And there are actually roughly 2,000 reported toxic spill incidents on Long Island every year, and that's according to the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation. But what I wanted to point out is that I'm sure most of the listeners are aware of the federal and state Superfund toxic cleanup sites. They're unfortunately all over the United States. But in New York State, they actually rank each county by the number of Superfund toxic cleanup sites. And again, unfortunately, here in Nassau County, we lead the state of New York with the most toxic Superfund cleanup sites, and Suffolk County happens to be number 3 in New York State. So in Nassau County alone, there's 145 toxic Superfund cleanup sites and 109 in Suffolk County. So these are...
Wow. So how would people... Are there on a map that somebody may be living right next door to one and not know it?
Absolutely, yes. You can go to a Newsday. You can do Newsday on Google, and they have the maps. I'm getting this information. I'm looking at the map right now. and you can do a Google search both with Newsday, and you'll see that online. And yeah, and you know, people ask, you know, why cancer rates are so high. You know, ground zero for many is just one instance example is the Grumman plant in Bethpage. So,
yeah.
You know, just like the movie Aaron Brockovich, where we saw, you know, how chemicals that leach into the underground water supply can affect communities. And, you know, that is one example of something that's been happening for, you know, the last 20, 30 years. Their inability to really intelligently handle the chemicals that they were creating for industry and for the military, and how, you know, we end up paying a price for their actions and or non-actions. And so that's just one. And, you know, one of the biggest problems on Long Island is from the over 3,000 dry cleaners that have been illegally dumping their extremely toxic chemicals into the ground, which, you know, rain comes down, washes whatever is in the soil. It just continues to wash it down through the soil and ultimately ending up in our aquifers, in our water supply underground. And so, yeah, you have these volatile organic compounds, including, I actually met a customer of mine who owned, he lived in Roslyn, and Roslyn on Long Island, and he owned 17 gas stations. And he told me that, he has known that every single one of his gas stations has been leaking at one time or another their gasoline and oil down into the ground. And so these are the kinds of things that are finding their way into our water supply. So then you have, like you said, we have all these, one of the most recent phenomenons that is just to me really, really scary and very upsetting is all the drugs and pharmaceutical products finding their way into our public water.
Right. That's not even discussed in older literature, but it's been a lot in the news lately, let's say, where they actually do little news pieces on the local TV stations showing people, first of all, they take this huge quantity of pharmaceutical drugs, only part of which is broken down in your body, and then it actually comes out when you go to the bathroom and goes right back into the general water supply. And then, of course, people just dump old pharmaceuticals and things like that right directly
exactly.
into the water.
Exactly. So, right, both of those problems, it's our personal consumption of the different meds. Then we go to the bathroom, and they get flushed down the toilet that way. And then it's both individuals. And also, I just the other day, I was talking to somebody who told me that at a nursing home here in Long Island, it was their protocol to specifically take unused meds, drugs, and flush them down the toilet. That's what they were instructed to do. I think some of that is they're trying to change those laws, but they're realizing, I mean, that's just a disastrous practice to, you know, at that level, a nursing home, one can only imagine how much, you know, drugs and pharmaceuticals they have to dump. But then the other problem, why that's such a big problem in an area like Long Island, is that when those things go down the drain, and anything we dump down the drain, whether it's household chemicals or our personal sewage or drugs and pharmaceuticals, we have a very old, dilapidated sewage treatment industry, if you want to call it that, here on Long Island, both in Nassau and Suffolk. So you have these sewage treatment plants that are, again, very old, and many of them just leak and they leach. And so you have both human waste leaching out of these sewage treatment plants into our soil, down into our aquifers, along with it all the other chemicals that get flushed down and the drugs and the pharmaceuticals. So, you know, Nassau County and Suffolk County they're desperately seeking funding to either repair these sewage treatment plants or build new ones. And it also has to do with the septic systems and the cesspool leakage. So these are, like, Suffolk County has, I think, almost 70% of Suffolk County is still on septic systems, not public sewage, and then also the cesspools. So these are really big problems, and these are massive problems that, the governments are trying to, you know, grapple to figure out how they're going to deal with these issues. So, you know, all these chemicals end up into our water supply.
Wow. So there's multiple input in terms of possibility of toxins. And then also the different kinds. Like, people, I'm sure, have heard of things like fluoride and chlorine.
Right. So,
and those are purposely added in by the water filtration companies. Now, what's wrong with those?
Okay. So, how our water works in this area is that there are a number of water companies. These are privately owned water companies that have wells. They dig into the aquifers. So they dig these wells into the aquifers, and there's hundreds of them around Long Island, for instance, and they bring up the water from the three there's the top aquifer, which is on Long Island is known to be very polluted right now. A lot of them are digging into the second, have tapped into the second aquifer, the second level down, and that's a little bit less polluted. The third one is way, way down, and that one is still pretty clean, but it's very difficult to get down into the third, the Lloyd Aquifer. So once the water is brought up, then we know that water is required to be treated. So at these treatment plants, New York State requires that they do some basic filtration. They take out the sediment and a lot of the heavier particulate in the water. But then they're required, New York State requires, and this is pretty true all over the country, that chlorine is used to treat the water. So why do we use chlorine? Chlorine is used mainly to kill living organisms in the water, bacteria, viruses, parasites. And fluoride is, here on Long Island, fluoride is not used anymore. It was actually banned. I actually think my mom, 30 or more years ago, was involved with some of the demonstrations in Nassau County, which then migrated to Suffolk County, where the people stood up and said, we don't want fluoride in our water anymore. So here in Nassau and Suffolk County, no fluoride, but in New York City, yes, they still do use fluoride. Fluoride is a very, very controversial subject. We'll get into that more in a second. But chlorine is now known. There's over 10,000 studies that are saying that chlorine and the chlorine byproducts are absolutely cancer-causing. Even in the New York State Water Report, which comes out every year, the New York State Water Report says that studies show that drinking water, chlorinated drinking water for 20 to 30 years shows that long-term exposure to disinfection byproducts is associated with an increased risk for certain types of cancers. So this is just really well known. It's chlorine and the chlorine byproducts. One word that people may have heard of is the trihalomethanes. So those are formed as a byproduct predominantly when chlorine is used to disinfect water for drinking. And they represent a group of chemicals, and they react. So the result from the reaction of chlorine with organic matter present in the water that's being treated, and these are known to be cancer-causing substances. So
how is it that the government allows them still to dump this into the water supply? I'm not asking you for a solution, but in general, the same thing. I mean, how can we have foods on the market that are known to be carcinogenic? It's just amazing.
It really is.
So what that's about is that nobody is watching your back. That's why you need to be proactive, learn about these things, and take actions to change the situation.
Right. I couldn't agree more, and that's really why I do what I do, because, you know, the government has its requirements. It has its certain standards of testing in terms of what they allow in our public water. But, again, in the treatment of water with things like chlorine, et cetera, it's just now known. There's just too many scientific studies that show that chlorine is a really toxic substance. Just this one. This is I have a quote here from Dr. Herbert Schwartz. He's a biological chemist in New Jersey. He says he calls chlorine a ticking time bomb. So he says chlorine has so many dangers it should be banned. Putting chlorine in the water supply is like starting a time bomb. Cancer, heart trouble. Trouble, premature senility, both mental and physical, are conditions attributable to chlorine-treated water supplies. This study, which I think, to me, when I show this to my customers, you know, again, one of the questions that's so often asked in this area, and you were talking about when you visited Kentucky, why cancer rates are so high. But one of the questions that has baffled Long Islanders for so long is why are cancer rates so high, and particularly breast cancer rates so high on Long Island? And in this study on chlorination, this was done by Dr. Robert Carlson of the University of Minnesota. And here's what he says, chlorine is the greatest crippler and killer of modern times. But this is the most interesting part where he says breast cancer, which now affects one in every eight women in North America, has recently been linked to the accumulation of chlorine compounds in the breast tissue. So what I always seek to point out to homeowners, and especially moms and dads with children, is that, you know, they may have a simple filter like a Brita or a filter to take out some of the chlorine for their drinking water. A lot of people are using bottled water as well, which doesn't have chlorine in it. But many people are still cooking with chlorinated water. They're brushing their teeth in their house with chlorinated water. They're washing their hands when they do the dishes. But more than anything, they're still showering and bathing in that chlorinated water. And our skin has an incredible ability. We know our skin is our first line of defense of our immune system to keep out so many contaminants from the environment. But one of the very interesting things that our skin cannot defend against is chlorine. So when we shower, we bathe, and or we swim in chlorinated water, chlorine has a way of penetrating immediately through our skin, and it goes right into our blood, and it actually accumulates. So that was what the study was showing, that chlorine compounds accumulate in our tissue, in our body, and our body really doesn't have a very good way to get rid of chlorine and chlorine compounds. So this is where we have a major, major problem. So this is why I'm such a big advocate on, you know, doing something in our own homes to at least get rid of chlorine, you know, so we're not exposed to it on a daily basis.
Well, you know what? We're going to go to a break right here, Dan, and when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion about how people can help themselves, save themselves and their family. You can also go to licleanwater.com, that's licleanwater.com, or crystalpurewaters.com, or just click on prn.fm and you will see this show's archive, along with contact information for our guest, Dan Goldberg. And we will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Welcome back again, right here to The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z on Progressive Radio Network. We are here with you every Tuesday, 10 a.m., but then, of course, we're with you 24/7. I get emails and phone calls and texts and all those kinds of things constantly, and Facebook comments. That's a place we love to hear from you. You can go to Facebook and go to The Natural Nurse. So it's Facebook, The Natural Nurse. You can get us there, or naturalnurse.com. And today we have as our guest Mr. Dan Goldberg. He's been our guest this entire hour, and he has gone deeply into the concept of how to bring to yourself, your home, your loved ones, excellent water. And he's spent the whole hour discussing why that's important. In case you missed that and you're just joining us, you can go ahead to the archives and listen to the whole show. So thank you again so much for being with us today, Dan.
Oh, you're welcome, Ellen. Thank you for having me.
Now, we left off with showering. So let's pick up with showering, because a lot of people can understand the concept of when they drink water, but they had no clue what goes on with the concept that toxins can get into your skin when you shower, and also things like chlorine, when you shower in hot water, are released into a gaseous state, and then you inhale them.
Absolutely, yes, both. It's both the water that is hitting our skin, containing chlorine, which penetrates through our skin into our body really immediately, and chlorine, which we know is a gas. When we're taking a hot shower, we end up breathing in so much chlorine gas. So we're really getting hit and bombarded both ways when we're showering and bathing, for sure.
Yes. Now, so what's wrong with that, though?
Well, again, study after study show that chlorine and chlorine compounds are, you know, they're cancer-causing.
And so let me ask you this. What about the fact that one thing that is true and why they're initially integrated into the water system is because they are antimicrobial, and they
right.
were used initially, which did bring down some infectious disease counts. So it does have that side as well.
Right. So it's that blessing, you know, here in America, when our water is treated, would they use things like chlorine to kill the microorganisms? So the bacteria, the viruses, the parasites. So we're not a third world country like we know when we travel and they say, don't drink the water, and we know we pick up a bug and we get sick. So in most places in the United States, we don't have to deal with that, thank God, because they use chlorine. But chlorine, so we solve one problem, and we know the whole, that saying, we create 10 other ones. So by using chlorine, yes, we kill the bacteria, but we are also, now we've been using chlorine for 40, 50 years, and in a lot of ways, they're discovering we're paying a very, very dear price for that. And
so in other words, they could use it perhaps as an anti-infective and then take it back out before we drink the water, which is what we're doing in our homes when we look at systems such as the ones you offer.
Exactly. So I say if they're going to put it in at the water treatment plant, okay, that's one thing. But we don't need to have it in the water in our homes when we shower, when we bathe, when we cook, brush our teeth, and certainly to drink. So, yeah, that's really one of my primary goals, is to raise people's awareness and allow them to understand it's very important, at least in their own home, to take steps to at least eliminate chlorine and so many other chemicals that are now in our water. Yeah.
So there's all these commercial, you know, very inexpensive kinds of things like pitchers, like Brita Pure. You know, we don't want to pick on one brand here.
Mm-hmm.
But are they beneficial at all, or are they just not enough?
Right. So, you know, leading into that topic, I just wanted to bring in a few last pieces. So, you know, one of the things that I show people when I go to test the water, I show them pictures of the whole underground pipe system that brings the water from the treatment plants through the neighborhoods to our homes. So those pipe systems are very old. They're corroding, so you have rust and lead and other things. And then we have pipes in our own home, so we have copper pipes, lead pipes, and now they're finding in research that, you know, many people for years thought that copper just lasted forever, but water and chlorine moving through copper pipes, it deteriorates and it corrodes and erodes the copper pipes so much more quickly than they ever thought. And then there, those, oftentimes the copper is soldered with lead. So we have pipes that are bringing in lead, and in our own homes we have copper toxicity and lead. And so those are some of the other things, which brings up a whole other subject of just heavy metals in general. So because of industrial chemicals and industrial waste, we have all these heavy metals, lead, mercury, arsenic, cadmium, nickel, combined with the pesticides, the herbicides, the volatile organic compounds like the benzene, gasoline remnants, dry cleaning dumping, drugs, pharmaceuticals, herbicides, pesticides. So this is a more complete picture of the contaminants that we are dealing with. So then when we ask ourselves, okay, a lot of people will say to me, Dan, yeah, I have a filter. I already have a filter. I have a Brita filter. I have a Pure filter. I have the one that comes with my refrigerator. So I'm good. Or a lot of plumbers or contractors over the last 10, 15 years have told their customers when asked, you know, hey, shouldn't we have a whole home system? They'll put on a basic canister filter at the main. But those filters are, they're very limited. That's what I would say. They're just limited in what they could do. Those are an example. Most of those are an example of a single stage, simple carbon filter. And carbon is great. Carbon is a way to primarily remove some chlorine. So a Brita filter will remove chlorine. So if we're drinking that water from a Brita filter, it's going to remove chlorine. It'll remove some sediment and things like that. Same with the Pure, same with the refrigerator filters. But what we're finding now with the extent of the contaminants and those simple filters, they're just not made to handle the load. This is a load that so quickly overwhelms these simple filters, and it just comes pouring through into our drinking water, cooking water, et cetera, and especially when there's children in the picture, to me, that they're not acceptable. They're just not good enough for what we need these days.
Yeah, so basically you need to move up a little bit. But I know that the ones that you have available, really, it's not that expensive. There's different price points that people can go to, and we can't talk about commercial things here on PRN because we're informational, but people can have you actually come to their homes and evaluate what might be best for them and actually do in-home testing.
Exactly, and that's, again, why I'm doing this. So, you know, my passion is both education to help. You know, I don't do this like some people. After they listen to a show like this, or when we go to their home to test their water, they may kind of slump over in their chair and feel rather depressed because a lot of people know there are problems with the water, and a lot of people inherently are not. They just know not to drink the tap water.
They
go to bottled water and think that's a solution. But so you know, the goal is not to depress people or to scare anybody. It's really more to raise awareness so that we can take, you know, the right action and make the right decisions in the type of filtration that we really do need in our homes these days.
Right. And if people don't want to do, let's say, a whole house filter, let's say they live in a small apartment, what I do, and by the way, I do have your what you represent, because I got it through our mutual dear friend, dearly departed friend, Michael Canisaro, who's a brilliant, brilliant nutritionist, and I very much miss him. But he introduced me to this information many years ago, and that's what I use in my home. So because I live in a small co-op, I actually use something that's water that you drink and then a shower filter, two separate pieces. Which work quite well.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's exactly what I do. I live in an apartment, and so I can't have a whole house system. So we can do what we can do. So we can have a simple system that would go under our sink and give us beautiful, clean, safe drinking and cooking water. And then a shower filter is really good for those who live in apartments or, you know, small dwellings. But you know, many people live in homes, and then they have other options too. So, you know, there are whole home systems that these are really the systems that I offer my company through Long Island Clean Water. You know, I'm doing this because I want to do it right, and I really want to make a difference in having systems that really address all the contaminants that could pose problems to our health. And so these are very sophisticated, state-of-the-art water filtration systems that, you know, when I put them in, I know I can sleep well, and I know that family or that individual is really safe and they're taken care of for many, many years, and that's really my goal. So, you know, I could talk a little bit more about that, but, you know, that's...
We could, except we're running out of time,
Dan. Yeah, right, I understand.
I want to bring this to a close by you telling people, I mentioned how to get in touch with you, but you can, you know, bring that to their attention again, and you were fantastic, tons of information today. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah, I'm always grateful to be with you, Alan. If any of us had one-tenth of your knowledge, the planet would be so different. So anyway, I feel blessed to be with you. But the first part of our service is we come to people's homes or apartments to test their water. It's a free service that we offer. So it's a very extensive process. So we'll test for many different things, and it's very enlightening because people get to see it right before their eyes what's going on. So we test everything
so
right in the kitchen.
Just give out now because we're going to come to an end. Give out how they contact you the best way.
Okay. So the best way to reach out is to call us at Long Island Clean Water, and that phone number is 516-694-7873. It's 516-694-7873, and we can arrange to have that testing done. And then for those who want to go further and explore some possible filtration solutions, yes, we can talk to them about that when we're there.
Well, thank you so much for being our guest, and thank you, listeners, for joining us once again for another edition of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. You'll be able to find this show on water cleanliness and Dan Goldberg right on the archives at Progressive Radio Network in a couple days. Takes us to get it up there, and then it will be there. So thank you so much for joining us. This is Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse, for myself and my co-host, Dr. Eugene Zamprone. We're wishing that you stay healthy.
Hello.
This is Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse. I am proud to be part of PRN Family of Hosts, along with my co-host, Dr. Eugene Zamperone. We host The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And the work we do here promotes progressive ideals for inquiring minds. For over 12 years, PRN has been advertisement-free and has never held a fundraiser. However, over the past few years, it is becoming increasingly difficult, and the time has come to ask you to chip in your support. Won't you be a friend of PRN and commit to a monthly recurring donation of whatever you can afford, $10, $20, $50, $75, or $100. Any amount would really help us continue to ensure that PRN will be able to bring you the latest breaking stories and the hottest topics and discuss from a progressive point of view. Just go on PRN's homepage and click on the subscribe button. With each subscription, you'll receive a free DVD from the Gary Null Library. Thank you again so much for your support.